Good morning. Wednesday, the hump day on the Daily Weather View. Coming at you 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Monday through Friday on my commute to work. And hosted to you guys, by the guys that bring you the weather report. Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific time. YouTube and Rumble. Our guest this week will be John Odermatt from the Lions of Liberty podcast. He has a couple of podcasts, got a couple of side businesses. We're going to be talking all kinds of things with him. I just remind you one more thing that we are sponsored by Horrible Designs, Bad Case Studios, Music Making Sense Podcast, Apex Music System. Bringing on my co-host, Jason. Jason, how you doing this morning?
Tired. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hump day, man. We're on the slide back down, and right into the weekend. We all wish we had some kind of a hump day going on, but for you younger guys, you know, hump day's a little bit more important than us guys that, it comes less than often. So it's all right though.
Yeah.
So I always look forward to hump day. I always love the weekends. Weekends bring a whole lot of joy to me. And, not that 9-to-5 grind that we've got going on every day. I know that Jason, you're grinding it almost all the time. So
order for someone.
What is your custom order?
Someone wants some stickers for they want some stickers for something that they want. Of course they won.
Now, do they supply the artwork to you and then you just go ahead and do them, or do you do the artwork for them?
Sometimes it's a little bit of both. Sometimes they say, for this one, they supplied the artwork for me. It was low quality artwork, so I have to go through and recreate it.
Gotcha. For you guys that are listening, Jason is the owner and proprietor of Horrible Designs, and if you like custom pieces, or he'd do custom pieces for you, but I mean, he's got a whole line of just really silly, horrible design stuff that I'm sure that there's a piece in there that you would love. I've got many of his pieces, and they are funny, they are intuitive, they are conversation starters, they are all the above. And I put a check mark by his store every time I go by it, and I try to patronize everybody here that is a host and a supporter or a sponsor of this podcast.
I have stuff for everyone.
He's got something for everybody. So go over to horribledesigns.com, and you can find something that you like there. So my story today is that Mike Tyson's in the I don't know if you know that Mike Tyson is going to be fighting Jake Paul. I think that's what his name is, Jake Paul.
Yeah, I've seen the ads for it, that Mike Tyson's basically going to beat the fuck out of Jake Paul.
Well, indications are in the interview that he just had is that Tyson is scared to death of fighting Jake Paul, but reading into the article and finding out what's really going on with Mr. Mike Tyson is that this is typical for him in his training and in his boxing career, that he's always been terrified of being in that ring. And whether that helps his aggressive nature or not is one thing or another, or whatnot, because I'll say that for you today. And awesome. I would imagine a guy that I would imagine that a guy with Tyson's abilities at the age that he is, because he's well into his 50s, he's going to be fighting a guy that's, you know, 30 years, you know, to be younger. And I'd be pretty concerned about it, but man, I've seen some of his training videos. I've seen both of their training videos, and they are vicious, vicious workers in the gym. I mean, yeah, I couldn't imagine myself being that much in the gym. I mean, I barely get in 4,000, 5,000 steps a day just walking around my neighborhood. So I can imagine the type of physical shape and stuff that you need to be in to step into the ring with somebody who can definitely hit you. Yeah, if one of those guys hit me, it would kill us. Yeah, it would kill me for sure.
Yeah.
Got to respect the power that both of those guys are doing. And I won't be buying into the pay-per-view because I do not do that. I've had too many times where I've bought into a pay-per-view for Mike Tyson and have it last, 27 seconds, less than a round. So same goes for this one. You never know with these pay-per-views how long they're going to go. But Tyson, when he was in his younger years, could make a quick work of a fighter. I'm not sure Jake Paul can do the same thing at his age, his young age. He's only had 10 professional fights. All of them has been kind of iffy fights. I don't think he's really, really fought anyone that has been ranked yet. So, that yet to be seen. But if he does lose against Mike Tyson, that's not going to look good for his professional record. Nor is it going to look good for his future in boxing. So, I think that's one of the things.
Probably not.
I mean, did you see, were you, I mean, you're what, well, see, you're 45, so so you've seen, did you see Tyson's first fights or any of his first fights, his first pay-per-views?
Nope. I don't buy into, I honestly don't give a shit about those. if I do see anything, it's off of some sort of highlights off of YouTube, just because YouTube feels they want to show it to me, so I'll watch it.
Yeah, so I'm old enough to remember like his first pay per view and some of his fights where he was just very, very vicious in the ring. Paul Amato was his trainer, and Don King is the one that of course brought him up. Because Don King was the promoter, the big promoter at that time. And man, what a career this kid had, man. Mike Tyson, he's been one of those fighters that's been a kind of an up-down guy, when he first was coming up. He's pretty brash. He was pretty in your face, which a fighter has to be. I think Jake Paul's the same way. Real brash, real in your face, real kind of controversial personality. When Tyson got out of the fighting business, when he started losing, he kind of fell down the stairs of life a little bit. He always was able to maintain his wealth. And going forward, he's actually made himself a better name. He's become a quieter, calmer man. From you can tell by his demeanor on some of the shows that he's been on and some of the interviews. Basically, it doesn't take much to bring out the animal in him when it comes down to being called out and fought. So I think it's going to be a very good fight. I'm going to enjoy watching the replay or whenever they come out with that. At least the highlights of it. Find out what the end of it is. So, but I was hoping Hardcoats was on, earlier today in the show, because I've got something to talk to him about dog killers, and then, but we can go on to some other content that I've got lined up for us. And
I texted him, maybe Hardcoats got visited by the. By the black helicopters again.
It could be very much. I mean, I was up myself late last night. I was doing my taxes and getting all my receipts together and stuff, because I've already done my personal taxes and I haven't filed them, but at the same time I get to file my business taxes at the same time, because I ended my business last year with the LLC, and so I've got a bunch of stuff that I need to do and file and claim and all that stuff, because I owe the government this year, which is probably better than getting money back, because get money back, you didn't get any interest with it. So.
Yep.
Yep. Ken, how you doing this morning? Ken from Mad K is here.
I'm waiting to see if I owe the government. I've got an accountant that I pay to do my taxes, because it got really complicated with, you know, again, with the business and all that. I learned long ago, don't do your own taxes. But I've got.
Would you rather owe or get back?
Well, of course, I'd rather get back money. It's free money. They just give it to you. No, I try.
That's right.
I try to,
that's right.
I try to balance it out, where I neither owe nor because I think either way. Usually I work in. Sometimes we used to have a Wisconsin and Minnesota, because I worked across states, and usually like maybe I'd get $500 back from Wisconsin, and I'd have to pay like $480 into Minnesota. I try to balance it if I can like that, but I'd much rather not have the government keep my money. But I absolutely loathe writing them a check. But I do quarterly, so I write them a big check quarterly anyway, and it's like. Oh, I paid more in taxes than my kid makes in a year. And I'm like, how is this right?
Yeah, I was a sole proprietor and under just a single LLC. So I was able to file, well, you know, one tax return a year with my personal. And did I make mistakes? I don't know, but I probably didn't claim or get back as much as I should have. Jason had told
multiples of thousands of dollars. That's what I found out, because I did it myself for a long time, and then I went to an actual accountant that was a tax tax account that understood it.
Right.
Like, the laws change every year. There's no way you could do it. QuickBooks or TurboTax, all those things are the worst things you could possibly use, because they're just terrible. And here's what you do. And I ended up going back 2 years and having redo my taxes 2 years prior. This is back in like 2002, 2003, somewhere. I ended up getting like $10,000 back. They're like, you missed this, you missed all these write-offs, you missed this. There's this credit, you can do this. What part of your house you work in? Oh, you can write that off. Oh, you're writing off mileage? No. Did you ever give anything to Goodwill? Yep. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And they got me like $2,000 a year back. And so the reason why I pay the money, the big money to the accountant, is because I get it back tenfold in sticking it to the man. And I'm going to use, much like Trump said, he goes, yeah, I did use all these laws to get away from taxes and to go around and use all the loopholes. And you guys put it in there. So you're not going to take it away. I'm going to use it for everything I can. And that's, I legally fleece as much as I can out of the IRS, because they have been after me in the past for a mistake I made. And they were ruthless. And I'm like, all right, motherfuckers, if you're going to do this to me, where you're calling my work, calling my cell phone. This is back in 2001 when it's like, how did they get these numbers? And I'm like, you know what? From here on in, I'm going postal and just saying, all right, I'm going to, it's scorched earth on my write-offs and stuff. Never anything but I'll take
that. Yeah, I'm such a small spot on the business. I mean, yeah, you can, you've got, a couple of bigger businesses than I have right now. And I'm just such a small spot. And I do TurboTax. But this is this will be the second year that I've used TurboTax to do everything, and then of course I'll go down to an accountant, and then they'll go ahead and they'll go through it and say, yeah, you missed, like you said, I missed this,
yep.
And hopefully I'll bring down my tax burden. My biggest thing was that I started converting my 401k into a Roth IRA, and capital gains on that stuff right now, and paying off the tax now. So that I can be taxed more for it later, because by the time I, retire and stuff, they'll be taxing your Roths. So.
Oh yeah, that's definitely gonna happen. Fortunately, I don't have any savings, so that's good for me. I'm set. You don't have to pay taxes on nothing. So, one of the things I did this last year, I cashed out an old 401k that I had, that there wasn't much in. There was like, I don't know, $14,000 in an old 401k that I had. And I'm like, you know what? I bought this all in like 2007, 2008 when the crash happened. And, it's annoying that the government just takes so much of your money that's your hard earned money. I don't care about that I made it, and it's tax free, and then it's then you have to pay tax on it. The fact that you know they're going to take a third of it right off the top because I'm not, you know, 60 years old. I'm like, you know,
right.
You shouldn't take any of it. You know, you want people to save a lot. Don't tax it. So I did the math on it, and I still made like 14% on my investment, even after all of the money that they took out, because it's been, you know, 15 years. But now, you know, I got to pay taxes on that. So to offset that, I made sure that I was writing off everything. I mean, for me, because I'm an artist, and here's the deal. You could do this too, Jason, and you could also do it, Bruce, is as an artist, it's kind of a little bit different of a situation. Because the liberals went in there and they said, well, you got to be fair to artists. So if you call yourself an artist, you don't need an LLC. You don't need a lot of this other stuff. Until you start making like 50, 60, 70,000 a year. But if you're making under 10 grand a year on your side stuff, you can write off like everything. That Jason, that whole room you're in, you could write that off. You probably do anyway because of your business.
Yep.
But you could write off, you know, any trip you take to anywhere. I write off car shows. I write off. In fact, when you guys come out and we go out and do stuff, I'm writing it all off. And you all should too, because
my whole trip is write off. Yeah, my whole trip is a write off because it's, you know, the podcast.
Yeah,
yep. You know, we're doing the podcast and taking all kinds of content. And you're damn right, I'm writing this whole damn thing off.
Ken, I actually had a question about that whole thing. Sure. I'm for that that car show. I'm gonna have to buy some new shoes because mine are kind of worn out. Could that be label as a business expense to for?
Yes.
Could I use it?
If you consider that a uniform that you're going to need to use to go and do and conduct business, yes, you can use those as an expense. I would recommend having if you have another set, you know, it's all comes down to what happens if you get audited, because you can write off and do anything you want, and no one gets shit until you get audited. When they get audited, make sure you have a receipt for it. And if you get audited that and they're like, oh, you bought a pair of shoes. And the other thing people will do, they'll do something stupid. They'll go buy a $500 pair of shoes for it. You know, you don't need that. And that's
no.
That's a red flag. So if the red flags come out, if you do things out of the ordinary. So like for me, when I had my painting business, when I was painting motorcycles and cars, you know, the compressor, all of the sandpaper I bought, of course, that's all materials and equipment that was depreciated. But my motorcycle, I also depreciate because I custom painted that and I'd go to shows with it. So I wrote the motorcycle off and depreciated over the course of 5 or 6 years. And then it was just, you know, I didn't do it. The trick is if you're going to sell your home within 2 years, don't claim that part of your house as a work area, because if you sell the house, then you have to pay capital gains on the work area that you did. So, and it's, and I'll throw the disclaimer on it. I am not a tax attorney. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Don't listen to me. What the fuck
do
I know?
Thank you. Thank you.
Not a word.
Thank you for doing that, and you just protected us.
Yep, so there you go. So I'm just some schmuck that's had tax problems in the past, and this is the ways that that I found that keep them off my back.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the interesting conversation, Ken, because it's always interesting to talk to a businessman who has been in the crap, who has been, you know, been in the jungle and has that thousand yard stare. So it's kind of nice to know.
Yeah, no, and I remember in 1984, or my dad got audited for the 1984 year, I think it was. And I just remember watching the dining room table come out. You know, there was no computers or nothing back then. Everything was receipts and papers and signed contracts. And you know, he was a teacher, a music teacher in Brookline High School in Massachusetts, and he was also a musician, you know, that had a big band. They played gigs, and he also composed and arranged music. So, and he was all union. So he hired union guys. He was a big you know, musicians union guy. It's one of the only unions that actually makes a little bit of sense. That's a good thing, I think, but he got audited. And so, you know, you got all these guys that you've paid in cash. You got to figure this out. I mean, it was just a fucking mess. And I watched that happen when I was in high school. And I'm like, well, whatever this is, I don't ever want to have this happen. So far, knock on wood, it hasn't been too bad. But even the other thing is, if you have someone prepare your taxes, if you're being really aggressive about your write-offs and stuff, you've got someone to go back on and say, hey, what the hell is this? And they'll work with the IRS to clear up any discrepancies.
Right.
I pay someone to do them.
Yeah.
And if the IRS comes back to me and says, hey, you owe $2,700.37, I'll be like, okay, here's a check. Sorry, I fucked up. Whoops. I'm not arguing with him. I take the Jason Stapleton way of thing. I'm like, yep, you think I owe that? Sure, here you go.
I can. Here you go. Here you go. Yeah, I'm not going to fight him either. I'm the same way. It's just like, yeah. And Jason Stapleton says, if you can write a check and make them go away, then you're in a good spot.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the White House decided that it wanted to push itself around universally now. Not only are they trying to rule the world, they're trying to rule the universe, where the White House has directed NASA. And this works well for me because I'm sitting here in the Pacific time zone, which is the greatest time zone of all time.
It's a leftover time zone.
You guys have whatever. You can say whatever you want, Jason, but you're wrong because NASA – because the White House directed NASA to create standard times for the moon. So NASA has been directed to establish a unified time standards for celestial bodies, including the moon, and its international norms in space. Atomic clocks on the lunar surface may be needed to ensure accurate timekeeping for astronauts' missions under the Artemis program. And the adoption and the coordination of lunar time would regulate the international agreements to benefit spacecraft nations in the U.S. rivals. And China and Russia have not signed on to this Artemis Accord. So we're looking at lunar times now. So you can get off my back about you can get off my back about being in the most perfect time zone in the United States, because we're going universal, guys. We're going universal.
It's great because the trains on the moon have been fucked up for a long time.
Yes, they have.
Been. Well, Biden was
time zones on Earth.
Biden said he takes those trains all the time, and he hates it. You know that he's messed up all the time, so he's often crossed the lunar surface by train. You know, on his way to Washington D.C. You know, with all the rest of his cronies. So yeah, I'm glad about that too. But I'm really glad about you guys getting off my back about being in the perfect time zone that I'm at. So.
You brought up the moon, which reminds me of satellites, which brings me to climate change and the measuring of temperatures on Earth that's been happening, which also brings me to a movie that I heard about yesterday when listening to the podcast Garage Logic, and they told me about a movie called Climate the Movie, and it's been banned all over the place. Finally, someone has made a movie, a really good documentary about the climate hoax and how it happened and how scientists get their funding and why the climate thing in the last 50 years. And it's all done by a bunch of retired scientists that were doing it. And they're like, we could get no funding if we didn't. So if we're doing we're looking for funding to do some kind of study of swamp life in Florida. If we didn't put some kind of climate edge to it or the effects of climate change on video games, you wouldn't get the funding. And if you stepped out of line, you were throwing. This was a brilliant movie. It's called Climate the Movie. It's on YouTube. I found it on a channel called Good Food. And it was because it keeps getting banned everywhere. Because they go. Yeah, exactly. It had nothing to do with climate change. But it was an incredible movie where they talked to the scientists. They're all saying, yeah, we're total climate deniers that people are causing this. And they went through, we're actually at the coldest point that the Earth has been, it coldest like 10,000, 15,000 years that the Earth has been for millions of years, you know, and they talk about CO2 and how it's not in effect. And they explained scientifically through actual science why this is happening and stuff like that. And yes, we are warming a little bit, but a half a degree warmth in over the course of a century is an absolute non-factor to anything. And it was really interesting.
I'm going to play the Whoopi Goldberg here card and just say, Ken, that's their science. That's not our science. That's their science. So,
do what my response to that would be to Whoopi? Go get fucked. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about, you moron, you racist bitch. That's what my response would be to that. Because you know what? That's the response we need to give to people, is just shut them the fuck up.
Yes.
And I hate to say it like that. I'd rather have a conversation about it, but you can't. So go cross your legs. I can smell your breath. Lay by your dish and shut up. Make daddy a sandwich. Is that a bad way to put it?
No, that's an excellent way to put it. And I'm glad that you brought that up because, yeah, whenever I bring that up to people that I hang around with sometimes, you know, in the circles that I hang around with, that's what they say. It's like, well, what kind of science is this that you're listening to? And I'm going like, well, what kind of science do you want it to be? I mean, science is science, right? You know, and
watch the movie. You know. This explains a lot of it because these guys talk about
and then you tell them
the science.
Then you tell them to watch. Yeah, then you tell them to watch the movie, and they're like, oh wow, the angle,
not you.
Yeah.
No, I'm not telling you to tell them to watch the movie. I'm telling you to.
Oh no!
This is all the answers. You can come back to them and say, well, Dr. So and Fuck says that this
Dr. So and Fuck,
and he's but these guys are all like Ivy League professors, scientists. They're the real deal, and they're all well known Nobel Prize winners in recent years. And
Dr. Bhattacharya and Robert Malone. They're all high esteemed doctors and researchers and stuff like that. Yet the left is still trashing them over their COVID response and their ideas about vaccines. Stuff like that. So it's really a loser.
Our argument has to stick it back in their faces because when they can't come back again, you're not going to convince the lunatic.
No, you won't.
But everyone around you that's listening to this conversation is going to be like, "Hey, well, there is. Oh, you mean there is outside? There is people that are denying this that are actually reputable as fuck. I mean, you know, some of the greatest scientists in the world
I think there's more people like that. And fortunately for us, I think more people are being awakened now than ever before. And the woke is going out, and the people opening their eyes, going like, "Well, you know what? This could be it." You know, it's going on a little by little. You know, little baby steps, which is fine. That's good. I really wouldn't want it to be a great big override overnight with all these people going like, "Oh, this sucks," because we know what happens there. You know, that we storm the Capitol, and then everybody goes to jail. But
might be all right. A million armed men march at every state in the union on July 4th. That I'm just saying. I'm not saying anyone should get hurt. I'm just saying a little show of first and saying here's a standing army of 50 million people with guns at every state capitol going, "We're not doing anything. We're just standing here. We're here.
That would happen. That'd be a great show of force, man. That would really kind of
absolutely fully peaceful,
fully peaceful,
armed to the teeth.
Nobody climbing fences. Nobody pounding down doors. Nothing. Just everybody shows up with a gun.
Not even signs. No, I don't even want
not
signs.
Even, no signs.
Just,
no signs. No nothing. Just your gun.
Yeah.
And just stand out there and just sit down, have lunch, and talk with the people that are around you. Nice conversation. Don't fuck with the police. No chance. No nothing like that. Just show force just by your presence. I think that is your loudest protest that you can ever have, man. I commend you. I commend you for that idea because most people want to go and they just want to keep. Pounding the drum, and create division.
That's right.
And stuff like that. And I think the best thing you can do. Is Teddy Roosevelt was right. Walk softly and carry a big stick.
Yep, it's me being a total idealist, and that's just that. Though I'm throwing out ideas of what would be the best outcome, not what is going to actually happen. Because if you get 50 people in front of a, someone's going to bring a sign. Someone's going to start yelling and screaming. I've been to so many different protests and especially gun stuff. The ones that work happen during the week, and you have paperwork and laws that you want to get passed or block, and walk into the Capitol and talk to the people and pack committee rooms and stuff when they're talking about. Those are the ones that work.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to see what the reaction would be. Again, to see 50 states on one day, every state capital, not D.C., but every state capital.
Yep.
All these, and it would have to be tens of thousands of people at every state capital show up peacefully with guns, not protesting. Not saying a word about nothing, but a silent, almost like a silent sit-in on the steps of the Capitol.
That would be so powerful, man. That would be so powerful. Forget about Washington, D.C. Forget about it.
Yep.
Just forget about it. Just like you guys don't freaking you guys don't even count. And just, yeah, exactly. Dude, I think that's a beautiful idea, man. That is just so beautiful.
Especially, but, think about this, too, especially in states like California. Because to do it in Minnesota is easy, because you can already carry a gun in the state capital of Minnesota. It's not
right.
But think about that in California or Massachusetts, well, where they ban.
If you're not a pussy, if you're not a pussy, you can freaking carry in California. You just right. can't be a pussy about it. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm talking about rifles. You're not going to walk around with an AR.
Oh, no, I understand.
But imagine 10,000 people for 1 hour peacefully sitting quietly on the steps of the Capitol in California with armed to the teeth, and then disperse in an hour after the hour's over perfectly. Yep.
Go away. Go home.
This is what can happen in an hour.
Yep.
That's
absolutely
what it shows.
Well, after welcoming guests for 67 years, one of the last bastions of the La Cosa Nostra, the Tropicana Las Vegas Casino, final day has arrived. The Las Vegas Strip Casino will be demolished to make room for a $1.5 billion Major League ballpark. The casino has welcomed guests for 67 years and will be closing its doors to the room yesterday. The city is rebranding the hub for sports and entertainment, and the new stadium will be part of their transformation. Now, the Oakland A's here in California were supposed to go there. I'm pretty sure they're still slated to go there. But, yeah.
Got
to
run, guys.
There it is.
Talk to you.
Okay. There it is. It's going to be gone. The last bastion of the mafia-style casinos is now being wiped off the face of the earth. And we're not going to have it. What a bummer, man. Goodfellas is going to have a different tone, you know, watching that from now on. So knowing that part of Vegas that used to be, you know, a gangster run and all that stuff is, I thought it was romantic. I don't know about you, Jason. Have you watched the gangster movies? You watched the, you know, like The Godfather and what is it, the other one? The Casino. Goodfellas, stuff like that. You ever into those?
Never watched them yet.
No, really, dude. You're not into those movies, huh? You're not into the gangster lifestyle.
Maybe one day I'll watch them. Just haven't watched them yet.
I actually love them. And to tell you the truth, I've been to Las Vegas a couple of times. I learned my lesson very quick about gambling. You know, so it's extremely addictive, and you can lose a lot of money real fast, especially when you think that you are one of those guys that can bust the Vegas door. You know, you go in there. Do you gamble, Jason? Any type of gambling?
No.
Never been to a casino either?
I've been to a casino, but I'll usually pay the penny slots, and I'll spend like a dollar, and then I'm done.
And when then what the fuck am I talking about? Why are we talking about this, man?
I don't know. I liked when I was in my early 20s, I liked going to the casinos with my friends, especially at Mystic Lake, because I could drink all the soda that I wanted. And so I went along with my friends because they had the soda. So I'd drink as much as I could handle.
You're soda drunk. You're a soda
yep.
drunk. Yeah, well, in some more depressing news as we go through this news today, we find out that the amount of money Americans think that they need to retire comfortably hits an all-time record high. So pension plans in the United States have diminished, covering about half of the private sector workers in the mid-80s to only 15% rose to 15% more by 2022. The traditional three-legged stool of retirement savings, including pension plans, Social Security, and benefits with a 401k, have now shifted. Defined benefit plans are no longer common among private sector workers, making the significant change in retirement savings and strategies difficult. So, all the more important things to do that you have your own business, Jason. I mean, you're living you're living that life. I think all four of us here on the podcast live that life, where we know that some of us have 9-to-5s. I think we all have 9-to-5s. Marcos is a little bit more of a gig worker than anybody else, mm-hmm. but you have Portable Designs. Ken has Mad K Studios. I have Weathered Soul and Flexus International, and Harkos has his hands in many things. So just a testament to what we do, and knowing the fact that, you know, our 401ks, our retirement plans, our savings, any kind of pensions that we're relying on are just kind of a prop now, and it's kind of sad because. I remember growing up, you know, with my dad, you know, you need to get a good job, you know, with a place that has good pension and health benefits and stuff like that. And that has gone by the wayside. And I don't know how it is in your industry. I happen to work for a mom and pop industry, and they treat me very well. They will not let me leave. Every time I threaten to leave, they give me more money and more benefits, more time off. So that. That's a testament to my work there, but other people aren't so lucky. How is it with your guys? I mean, I know that you have a 9-to-5 also. How does that work out for you? That you got benefits and 401ks and popped up with those kinds of props?
Yep, I do.
Yep. And do you feel that story that I just told you was accurate, that it's going to cost us more, and I don't know how your savings are. I mean, I think my 401k savings are, and my investments and all that are adequate. You know, your 401k can dump in a day.
Yes, it can.
So, yeah, you just never know. So, I think it's I think the government just has its hands in too many things. As Ken said before, it's just, you know, they tax you. And then as soon as you tax, they want to tax you some more. And as soon as you die, they're going to tax you for dying. So
yes, they will.
It is just a lose-lose situation, man. And it's a travesty that we have that going on. But it's too bad Harkos is in here today, because I had something to talk to him about. So there was a lady that is in the UK that claims that her dog was killed by an Instacart driver.
Huh.
Yeah, what a sad story that is. I'm going to bring it up here. It'll be our last show of the day. Angie Harmon said Instacart driver shot, killed her beloved dog. A delivery driver for Instacart shot, killed the family's dog after delivering groceries, as reported by Harmon. I don't know who Angie Harmon is. Apparently she's some kind of actress or something. But Instacart expressed sadness over the incident. Suspected the driver's account immediately emphasizing zero tolerance for violence. Harmon's family is devastated by the fact that their dog got shot. And I just wanted to ask Harkos if he comes across any of those situations where he's walking into a hostile environment, because I know that he does all those kind of gig work, you know, where he sees a driver or I think DoorDash. I think he does a couple of things. So
yeah, maybe bring it up tomorrow if he, as long as he's not on a black helicopter.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that he's okay, and he's got a post that he wants me to post for him. He did a real nice piece for me as far as what it goes on to the Weathered Soul website, because Weathered Soul is all about regeneration, sustainability, renewability, and education. So hopefully we'll get that posted for him today. I was kind of late in our post yesterday. I didn't get it posted until on my way home, but hopefully I'll be able to do that a little bit faster today. Got a couple of projects that are sitting on my plate at work that I barely got off of my desk at work. So it was one of those days where you just couldn't find time enough to do everything. And then, of course, had my taxes to do when I got home, and that was pretty depressing. The San Francisco Giants are 2-4 in the season. They can't seem to get by the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I'm a Dodger hater, so not a Dodger. I'm a Dodger hater because the Giants tell me to be a Dodger hater, but other than that, sports, baseball is one of my favorite sports, and I enjoy watching it. And I just hope the Giants can get their head out of their ass and salvage one of these games in our 3-game series with the Dodgers. And got anything to add there, Jason?
Baseball, that's one where they kick the ball for the amount of touchdowns, right? And
oh, man. We're gonna...
and after they get the touchdown in the 15th inning, then the first person to get knocked out wins, right? Is that baseball?
Right. Something like that. Yeah, kind of. It's like it's a cross between dodgeball and lawn darts.
Okay. That's what I thought. but where does the three-point shot and the free throw come in on baseball?
Well, they're trying that out this year because what happens is when they hit the ball and it enters into the net, they want to make sure that it goes in a consistent manner that does not violate anybody's feelings. So they've kind of pushed that aside because not everybody can make a 3-point shot. And that's the thing. So they want everybody to be able to make one. And then of course, when the umpire comes out and says that the ball is out of bounds because you hit it with the wrong racket, so there's all kinds of new rules this year, and it's just totally out.
So is that called high sticking then?
It's called high sticking, but then again, if you're carrying more than 14 clubs in your bag, then what'll happen is that they'll disqualify you for icing.
Oh, okay. For icing. Okay. I hope that
cleared that up for you.
Yep, it did.
Because they're instituting some new rules every day, and we just want to make sure that our fans and our followers are up to date on all those things. But Jason, I want to thank you, man, for hanging out with me today, man. And I'm pulling into my driveway of my workplace. So that means that this show's over. And I want to thank you, Ken and Harkos. We don't know where you're at. We're hoping you're doing okay. You're either sleeping in, you had a late night, we wish you the best. Hope you're back tomorrow. Thursday's another day. We're going to be shooting news 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., somewhere around there, in between there, during my commute to work. And don't forget to miss us on the podcast apps. So I'm going to leave you guys with this, as I leave you every day. Have a great day.
You too.
Be good to yourself, Jason, man. Take care, bud.
You too.
All right. Later.